Well, once again, I thank you for being here this morning. We're going to take a look at a subject that is appropriate to what is going on in America today, a great thrust by the homosexual agenda to bring marriage in as being between one man and one man, and one woman and one woman. And of course, we know that that's just the start and the tip of the iceberg of what is yet to come. We already see groups lining up that want polygamous marriage and bisexual marriage, and so we're going to see that coming in next, because when marriage means nothing, it means everything. And so we're going to see a great push by all kinds of fringe groups and groups that would be considered a little bit off the wall and a little bit perverted. We're going to see them clamoring for marriage for their particular group, and so you're going to see the walls coming down on all kinds of sexual alliances and sexual perversions, and that will be also part of the agenda to open the doors for all people of any combination to be married. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 6, and we're going to see what God has to say about sexual immorality. And of course, we know that Paul says that sexual immorality is very damaging to the body, very damaging to the soul. And so if you've been involved in sexual immorality, feel no guilt, feel no shame. If the Lord has convicted you of your immorality, you need to repent of it. You need to renounce it. You need to ask God to forgive you of it, and He will. It's not the unforgivable sin. The only unforgivable sin really is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But if you've been involved in sexual immorality, which many people have this day and age, just ask God to forgive you of it. Ask Him to cleanse you of it. Repent of it. That is, turn away from it right now. If you're involved in a sexually immoral situation or relationship, turn away from it. Break it off. Break it off. Turn away from it and repent of it. And ask God to forgive you of it and cleanse you of it and renounce it, and He will cleanse you of it. And then, as Jesus told the woman who was trapped in adultery or caught in adultery, who was in the process of being stoned, He said, go and sin no more. And that is God's direction for you. That is Jesus' direction for you, is to go and sin no more. And so if you open up to 1 Corinthians 6, and we're going to start in verse 15, and this is just a little description by Paul here of why sexual immorality is so damaging to the body, is why it causes such a great harm to the body and to the soul. And Paul starts off here in verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. Do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he says, the two will become one flesh. And I could add there that homosexual relationships and homosexual alliances, you could fill in the blank there. Instead of becoming members of a harlot, you could say members of a homosexual relationship. Do you not know that one who joins him to a homosexual is one body with him or her? For he says, the two will become one flesh. And so you see that when you become one flesh with a person, you take on soul ties with that person. You take on in the deepest way that it could possibly be meant. You take on a relationship with that person that is only meant for a husband and a wife. You take on a relationship with that person that is only in God's will preserved for a husband and a wife. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago in Matthew 19:6. You know, Jesus said that for this reason God made them male and female. For well, what's the reason? The reason is so that they could have godly offspring, so that they could bring godly children, the next generation of God-fearing young people, into this world. That's the reason why God created a male and female, and that's the reason He brought them together, and that's the reason He told them to leave your mother and your father, leave and cleave to your present mate and your present spouse, and leave your mother and your father, and the reason he gave them a physiological compatibility and emotional compatibility is so that they could raise up godly offspring and bring the next generation of God-fearing people into this earth. Well, back to 1 Corinthians 16. Do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he says, the two will become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Okay, if you have joined yourself to Jesus Christ, praise God for that. You are now one spirit with Jesus Christ. Paul says in Ephesians, one spirit, one faith, one baptism. You are one spirit with Jesus Christ, and you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you are a Christian, if you are a follower and a disciple of Christ, you have been given the same Spirit of Jesus Christ. You have been given the mind and the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and you have been given the mind and the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ. Praise God for that, huh? That is something worth shouting about. And verse 17, the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you can imagine if you are one spirit with Jesus Christ and at the same time you are involved in sexual immorality, either homosexuality or adultery or fornication of some other type, even pornography, then you are sharing that spirit that you have with Jesus Christ. You are sharing that spirit with a harlot or with a homosexual or with your pornographic devotion. And so it creates a situation inside your body that is just total chaos, total confusion, and it is very damaging to the soul, very damaging to the body. And again, I say, if you're involved in some kind of a situation like this, if you're listening today and you're trapped in an affair or you're trapped in a homosexual relationship, get out of it, turn away from it, ask God for the strength and the power and the commitment to turn away from that, repent of it, and you will be set free. God will give you the strength. He always gives you a way out of your sin. He gives you the strength to turn away, even temptation. He gives you a way out and the strength to turn away from it. And so that is God's will that you do that. I can remember back about 8 or 9 years ago, I went to a church in Kansas City and led a prayer and fasting meeting for the pastor's wife who had cancer. And she was very sick, and it was an all-day prayer and fasting meeting. And so we prayed for the pastor's wife and other people in the church. We just opened up the whole day to prayer for people, and we laid hands on them and prayed for them. And about the middle of the afternoon, a young lady came up, and she asked for prayer, and she was in a lesbian relationship, had been in a committed lesbian relationship for about 9 years. And I prayed for her, laid hands on her, prayed for her, and I just broke off that spirit of immorality, that spirit of fornication and lesbianism off of her. And she got set free of it, and she went home that day and packed up her stuff and moved out of the house. And she moved in with one of the elders of the church. And I didn't even find out about all this stuff till months and months later, but she moved in with one of the elders of the church who guided her and discipled her, he and his wife, and led her out of that bondage of a lesbian relationship. And she got set free that day from years and years of devotion to a demonic influence in her life. And so God will do that. He will give you the way out. He will give you the strength to do it. You just have to step forward. If you're in an affair or a homosexual relationship, you have to move out with faith and believe that God is going to give you the strength. You have to move out and believe that God will be there for you. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, especially if you've been in this relationship for years. There's going to be some heartache. There's going to be some pain. There's going to be some ripping and tearing. But God will give you the strength, and He will let you become an overcomer. That is His will for us. He says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you. It's plans with a hope and a future, and not a plan to harm you, but a plan to prosper you. And so God wants you to be prospered. God wants to bless you, and He will do that if you give Him a chance, if you step forward in faith. Verse 18, back to 1 Corinthians 6. Flee immorality, Paul says. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. And we know that to be true. When you steal a car or something, you're not really sinning against your body. It's not something God wants us to do. It's a sin. Thievery is a sin. Or when you lie or cheat, that's a sin. But when you have a sexual immoral relationship, a homosexual relationship, or a fornication or adulterous affair, you're sinning against your own body. And of course, that can be manifested in sexually transmitted diseases. It can be manifested in HIV. There are many ways that that sin against your body can manifest itself. I've recently read a statistic that adult males in San Francisco have an average age of death that is about 20 years less than the average across the nation for adult males, and that is just strictly because there's so much rampant HIV and rampant sexually transmitted diseases that the men there get sick and they die, and nobody wishes for that, especially their loved ones and the families of these people. But God's will is that we stay sexually pure, that we treat our vessels as holy and righteous as we stand before Him, because He is a holy God. He requires that of us. And so there are consequences to pay. There are consequences to pay as a result of sexual immorality. Well, back to verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. The price that you have been bought with is Jesus' blood. Praise God for that. God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross. The blood that He shed paid the price for our sin. That doesn't give us the license and the liberty to go on sinning. Paul says in Romans 6:1, if grace abounds, what then? Are we to sin even more? Do we take advantage of the fact that we know we have grace? Do we take advantage of the fact that we know our sins are covered? No, we don't take advantage of the fact. That doesn't give us free license to continue in sin. That doesn't give us free license to do whatever we please. God calls us to go and sin no more. Wherever He pulls us out of sin, whenever He gives us the grace and forgiveness for our sin, whatever lifestyle we're in, whatever sins we have had in our life, God says, I'm giving you the grace, I'm forgiving you that sin, but go and sin no more. He calls us to live a life of righteousness. He calls us to come out of the world and not live as the world lives. And He calls our body a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so that body that you have been given, devote it to God. That body that you have been given, it is given to you for the purpose of glorifying the kingdom here on this earth. It is given to you for the purpose of bringing glory to the kingdom, that when people see you, they see the kingdom of God in action here on this earth. And I would say not only sexual immorality, but if you're trapped in some other negative behavior, some other behavior that is causing your holy temple to deteriorate at a rapid rate. I mean, we're all going to die at some point, and there's obviously no one that escapes this earth alive, but there are things that you know that cause your body to go down at a really rapid rate. If you're smoking, or if you're drinking alcohol, or if you're not getting rest, if you're not feeding your body good food, you need to do those things. You ask God to release you and cleanse you of cigarettes, cleanse you of tobacco addiction, cleanse you of addictions to any kind of negative foods or things that are causing you. Maybe it's just staying up late. Some people like to stay up and watch movies till midnight, 1 o'clock. Well, over a long period of time, that's gonna really deteriorate your holy temple. And so if you ask God to free you of all of these things, He will set you free. Ask God to give you the strength. Pray to Him for strength and power to do this, and He will set you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And Paul says in Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, don't take this yoke of slavery upon you again. So if you have been trapped in any kind of sexual immorality, if you've been trapped in alcohol addiction, just pray to God for the blood of Jesus to set you free. And if you get serious about your prayer, brother and sister, if you get really serious about moving into righteousness in the kingdom of God, God will set you free. That's a promise that he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And he wants you to be free. Well, we're going to back up just a little bit here and look at 1 Corinthians 6:9. We're in the same chapter, but I wanted to give that a preview before we jump into this verse 9, because this verse 9 is a pretty much of a heavy hitter, and it really lays out the precepts for what God's plan is for people who are trapped in sexual immorality. And it lays out, you might say, the game plan of how they're going to come out. And I would just suggest, brothers and sisters, if you are a person who has someone in your family who is trapped in promiscuous sexual activity, or trapped in homosexuality, or trapped in other types of fornication, or maybe just you suspect somebody is trapped in pornography, that they're up on a computer a lot and watching pornography, that you just pray for them and understand that it's a demonic influence, even homosexuality. There's no genetic, there might be an environmental predisposition to homosexuality, but there's no genetic link. You know, people are not born homosexuals. They might have influences, even generation curses in their life that predispose them in that direction, or that bend them in that direction. But God can set them free. Even the most devout homosexual, God can set them free. Even persons who are promiscuous and sexually immoral, in that they have to have many affairs and many partners, God can set them free of that. And this scripture right here proves that. And back to the fact that if you have somebody in your family that is in that situation, understand, first of all, that it is a demonic influence in their life, that it is a demon-driven behavior and a demon-driven lifestyle. It's not just an innocent lifestyle choice. It is a demon-driven, comes from the pit of hell, comes from darkness. And I know these are pretty strong words. And if you have a loved one who's trapped in any of these kind of things, just pray for that loved one. Just pray for him. Understand that God hears every prayer that you pray, every single prayer that you utter. And it may be very painful to watch this go on in your family, but just pray for that loved one, and eventually God will make a way. Eventually there will be some kind of a breakthrough. So be faithful in your prayer, and don't sell God short. Don't sell him short. Don't sell the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross short. His blood cleanses all from unrighteousness. His blood will set all the captives free. Jesus said in Isaiah 61, I came to set the captives free and declare release to the prisoners. And he will release your loved one. He will release everyone who is trapped in these kinds of lifestyles and these kinds of behaviors. And you just have to stay faithful. It may take years. Sometimes these things are not broken easily. They take years for them to be broken off. But there are many, many people who have come out of sexual immorality. There are many people who have been set free from homosexual lifestyle. I'd encourage you, if you have a loved one who is in a homosexual lifestyle, to look up Exodus International on the internet. Look up their website and get some information to help you know how to pray for them. Also, Love One Out, which is a focus on the family ministry, is ministering in cities all across America and in Canada, and ministering to homosexuals by encouraging them through prayer and discipleship, encouraging them to come out of that lifestyle. And most of the people that are involved in these ministries have come out of the homosexual lifestyle, and so they are a witness and a living testimony to the fact that through the blood of Jesus and through God's power, people are able to come out of these lifestyles. Well, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6:9, and as I said, this is a pretty heavy hitting passage of scripture here, but it gives us a pattern for how people are able to come out. Do you not know, Paul says, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so you see, Paul takes aim at just about all of the sexually immoral people, including fornicators, homosexuals, adulterers, and effeminates, but he doesn't let other sins off the hook. He doesn't give them a free pass either. He throws in there thieves and covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers, and he's saying that none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that does not mean that if you are a Christian and you've practiced these things at some time that you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. If you repent, Jesus' ministry is about repentance. If you repent of these sins and turn away from them, cleanse yourself before God, you will inherit the kingdom of God. And so Paul is saying, get clean, get washed, turn away. And there's no sin short of blaspheming the Holy Spirit that God will not forgive. There's no sin that God will not cleanse, that God cannot help you turn away from. And so he says, none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. And what he means here is in an unrepentant state. If you stay unrepentant and stay practicing in these sins, that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in verse 11, Paul says, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. Some of these baby Christians in the church at Corinth had come out of these lifestyles. And so that should be an encouragement, brothers and sisters. If you have somebody trapped in homosexuality, if you have somebody trapped in adulterous affairs or pornography, that's encouragement, because Paul is saying, such were some of you, but you came out. Such were some of you. You were practicing these things. You were lost in these behaviors, but now you have come out. And he says, and such were some of you. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. And so we are washed by Jesus. We are washed by his word. I'm going to read to you here from Ephesians, starting in verse 5:25. If you turn there in Ephesians 5:25, God, through Paul here in Ephesians, is comparing the church and Christ with a husband and his wife. And that's why homosexual relationships and adulterous relationships are so damaging to the body of Christ, is because the body of Christ is a picture of Jesus Christ and the church, and the husband and wife in the home is that same picture on this earth of Jesus Christ in the church. God calls us to treat our wives as Christ treated the church. God calls us to sacrifice for our wives as God called the church, as God called his son to sacrifice for the church. And in verse 25 in Ephesians 5, Paul says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. And so Paul says that Jesus sanctified the church. He's cleansing the church by the washing of water with the word. And so Jesus Christ, we know, is the word. John 1:1 tells us that the word was flesh, the word was with God in the beginning, the word was God, the word was with God. And that Jesus Christ is the Word, and the Word came and dwelt among us, and the world knew him not. And so Jesus Christ is the Word. Jesus Christ cleanses us. The Word cleanses us. And so no matter what sexual immorality or what sin we've been in, we can be washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And praise God for that. I stand here before you today as a witness and a testimony in my own life how the Word has cleansed me. At one time I was trapped in all kinds of sinful behavior, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sexual immorality, and God has cleansed me. Jesus' blood has cleansed me of all of that. He's brought me up out of that pit of destruction and death, and praise God, I no longer have any attachments to those things, and thank you, Lord Jesus, for setting me free from those sinful and dark behaviors. Well, I'm going to go back to Psalm 119 and close up here in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is a psalm of 176 verses, and they talk about the Word of God. They talk about the Word, which is really, it's all about Jesus Christ. The Word is Jesus. The Word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Every chapter and every verse in the Bible really points us to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so to really understand the cleansing power of the Word of God, you have to understand that it's all about Jesus Christ. It's about His blood, the blood that He shed for us on the cross. And so if you get into Psalm 119 and just read and meditate on these beautiful words, just read and meditate on them and understand that through the Word of God, when you get into this Word, when you start to study this Word and listen to this Word and hunger for this Word, you're starting to hunger and listen for Jesus Christ in your life. When you get into this Word, you will be set free by the blood of Jesus. You will be set free. When I really started to study God's Word, I read the Bible through many times, and of course, since I started ministry many years ago, I've read the Bible many times also, although I don't read it straight through quite so much like I used to. I read more in relationship to what I'm teaching. But when you really start to get into God's Word and read it through, you will be set free. You will be changed. You will be transformed. And God's Word just has that power, because it is Jesus Christ is the Word. It has the power to set us free from this sin and this destruction and this death. Well, in Psalm 119, verse 1, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. Thou hast ordained Thy precepts, that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established, to keep Thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all Thy commandments. I shall give thanks to Thee with uprightness of heart when I learn Thy righteous judgments. I shall keep Thy statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. And Psalm 119:9 is a great one here. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to Thy word. With all my heart I have sought Thee. Do not let me wander from Thy commandments. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all Thy riches. I will meditate on Thy precepts and regard Thy ways. I shall delight in Thy statutes. I shall not forget Thy word. And of course, Psalm 119:105 is the great one, and the one that I really love to recite and keep hidden in my heart. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And so when you get into God's Word, when you start to hide that Word in your heart, when you start to lean on His Word, you're leaning on Jesus Christ. You're hiding Jesus Christ in your heart. Praise God for that, that you have something to lean on besides this shaky world, that you have something to lean on besides that shaky money that's in your pocket, that you have something to lean on besides your family that sometimes can betray you, or even your spouse that sometimes can betray you. You have something to lean on. Brothers and sisters, get into God's Word. Read His Word daily. Meditate on it, because Thy Word is a lamp unto Thy feet, and Thy Word will illuminate your path. And God knows we need illumination right now. There's so much darkness in the world. There's so much confusion out there about what is right and what is wrong. There's so much confusion about which way to proceed in terms of your money or your life or your vocation or your ministry. And God says, Thy word is a lamp unto Thy feet. Start getting in God's Word. Read it. Meditate on it. Hunger for it. Crave it as much as you do your next meal, and God will show you the way that your feet should walk. God will illuminate the path before you, so you don't have to walk in confusion and you don't have to walk in darkness, that you will know with certainty where your steps should go as you walk down the path of life. God wants to bless you, and he wants to illuminate your path so that you will not walk in darkness, but you will walk in the brightness of his word. Well, I can tell you from experience, brothers and sisters, as we close here today, I can tell you from experience that all of these sexual behaviors, God has the power to set you free from them. If you're trapped in one today, just turn your life over to Jesus. Say, Jesus, come in and set me free from this spirit of bondage and this spirit of death. Jesus said, I came to break every yoke. I came to declare release to the prisoners. And he wasn't talking necessarily about somebody sitting behind bars. He was talking about people that are in prison in sin, that they are bound up in sin and can't get out. And I can tell you from experience, I have seen it in my own ministry and in other ministries, that people who are trapped in homosexual relationships have been set free, not only of their behavior, but also their effeminate characteristics, that Jesus Christ's blood set them free and released them from that. And when they really, really commit their heart and their soul to Jesus Christ, that he will set them free from all of these demonic influences in their life. If you are in that situation today, just get down on your knees and cry out to Jesus. Say, Jesus, set me free. Turn me loose, Jesus. I want to come to you. I want to seek you with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my soul, with all my mind. Jesus, I want your blood to set me free. I commit myself to you, Jesus, this day, and I cry out for the freedom that your blood brings, and I cry out for a devotion and a discipline to stay with you and to walk with you as you illuminate my path. Well, God will do that for you. He sent his son Jesus that you would know him for eternity, that you would abide with him for eternity, and abide with him this day, and trust that he will lead you in the way that you should go. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.